ਸ੍ਰੀ ਸ਼੍ਰੀ ਰਾਧਕ੍ਰਿਸ਼ਨ ਗੋਵਿੰਦ ਦਾ ਸ਼ਾਮ ਕਰਵਾਰ ਗਰੀਬ ਗੋਵਿੰਦ ਸ਼੍ਰੀ ਵਰਿੰਦਾਵਨ ਧਾਮ ਕੀ ਜੈ ਵਰਿੰਦਾਵਨ ਕੀ ਜੈ ਗੋਨਟੋਸੀ ਭਗਤ ਅਨੰਦ ਗੋਰੇ ਵੈਸ਼ਨਵ ਵ੍ਰਿੰਦਗੀ ਓਮ ਨਮੋ ਭਗਵਤੇ ਵਾਸੁਦੇਵਾਯ
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 ਤਮਾਮ ਵਿਸ਼ਨੂੰ ਬਦਾਇ ਕ੍ਰਿਸ਼ਨ ਸਰਬੀ ਕੋਰੇ ਸ਼੍ਰੀ ਮਾਨੇ ਬਖਤ ਬਰਾਂਤ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਨੇ ਨਮਨੇ ਨਮਸਤੇ ਸਾਰ ਸੋਰਦੇ ਭਗਵਾਨ ਬਾਣੀ ਪ੍ਰਚਾਰਨੇ ਨਰਵਸੇ ਕ੍ਰਿਸ਼ਨ ਵਾਰੇ ਸਾਥੇ ਸਿਖਾਰਨੇ Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Shubha Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Bhakti. That was the chapter number 7. Shri Sukha Uvacha,
Shri Sukha Uvacha,
Nacheri, Vihai Vapa, Chitam Yatam Vasaha,
Nacheri, Vihai Vapa, Chitam One who has performed simple activities.
One who has performed simple activities.
Kurya.
Kurya.
Performs.
Performs.
Mana.
Mana.
With the mind.
With the mind.
Utta.
Utta.
Words.
Words.
Pani. Be.
Pani.
With the senses.
With the senses.
Dhruvam.
Dhruvam.
Undoubtedly.
Undoubtedly.
Sa.
Sa.
That person.
That person.
Vai.
Vindi.
Vindi.
Precha.
Precha. After death.
After death.
Naraka.
Naraka.
Different varieties of hellish conditions.
Different varieties of hellish conditions.
Upaihi attains ye which Kirtita already described
by me
Bhavata
unto you
Sikma Yatna in which there is terrible suffering.
In which there is very terrible suffering.
Translation Sukadeva Goswami replied, my dear king, if before one's next death, whatever impious activities one performs in this life with his mind, words, and body are not counteracted to proper atonement,
According to the descriptions of the Manu Samhita and other Dharma Shastras, one will certainly enter the hellish planets after death and undergo terrible suffering, as I have previously described to you. Wherefore, Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentioned, although Maharaj Purusa was a pure devotee, Sukadeva Goswami did not immediately speak to him about the strength of devotional service. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, devotional service is so strong that if one fully surrenders to Krishna and takes fully to his devotional service, the reaction of a simple life immediately stops. And elsewhere in the Gita, Lord Krishna urges that one give up all other duties and surrenders to him, and he promises, Aham from Sarvapapi Vyamukshyasyami, I shall free you from all sinful reactions and give you liberation. Therefore, in response to the inquiries of Pariksit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami, his guru, could have immediately explained the principle of bhakti, but to test Pariksit Maharaj's intelligence, he first prescribed atonement according to Karmakanda, the path of Gurudev activities. For Karmakanda, there are 80 authorized scriptures, such as Mano Samhita, which are known as Dharma Shastras. In these scriptures, one is advised to counteract the sinful aspect or formal effects of Gurudev action. This was the path first recommended by Sukadeva Goswami. Mercy Maharaj actually is the path that one who does not take to devotional service must follow the decision of these scriptures by performing pious acts. To counteract this impious acts, this is known as atonement. Therefore, before one's next death comes, as long as one's body is strong enough, one should quickly adopt the process of atonement according to Shastra. Otherwise, one's time will be lost and reaction to his sins will increase. As an expert physician can diagnose and treat the disease according to the gravity, one should undergo atonement according to the severity of one's sins. Purport, Dharma Shastra, like Mano Samhita, prescribed that a man who has committed murder shall be hanged and his own life sacrificed as atonement. Previously, the system was followed all over the world, but since people are becoming atheists, they have stopped capital punishment. This is not wise. Here it is said that a physician who knows how to diagnose a disease prescribes medicine accordingly. If the disease is very serious, the medicine must be strong. The weight of a murderer's sin is very great, and therefore, for the Mano Samhita, a murderer must be killed. I'm killing a murderer of government shows mercy to him, because if a murderer is not killed in this life, he will be killed in the course and suffer many times in future lives. Since people do not know about the next life, they think the workings of nature, the manufacture of their own laws, but they should properly consult. The established injunctions of the Shastras and act accordingly, in India, even today, the Hindu community often takes advice from expert scholars regarding how to counteract sinful activities. In Christianity, also, is the process of confession and atonement. Therefore, atonement is required, and atonement must be undergone according to the gravity of one's sinful acts. Sukadeva Goswami replied, by looking in the form of one's next death, whatever impious acts one is performed in his life with his mind, words, and body are not counteracted with the proper atonement. According to the scripture of the Mano Samhita and other Dharma Shastras, one will certainly enter the hellish planets after death and undergo terrible suffering, as I have previously described to you. So, if one does punya yogas, this gives one an opportunity to get elevated to heavenly planets, like the moon. If one does sinful activities, one, of course, goes into lower bodies. So it is said by doing physical sins, violence, one can end up in a plant body. And if he does it with his words, then he can take that animal body. And if he does it by the mind, then he takes a lower class human body. So that itself is one sort of punishment. And the other punishment for severe sins mentioned in the previous canto, for each particular hell, there's various sinful activities. So those sinful activities lead to this hellish punishment. However, Pariksit asks, how is it possible to prevent this? How to help the people who go to hellish places? So of course, the best thing is prevention. To get them out of the house, prevent them from getting a sinful reaction so they don't go to hell at all. So, one method here is the method in Karma Yoga. That is the process of prayaschitta. By this method, one counteracts whatever sins one has done in this lifetime. And in this way, one can avoid hellish punishment. So for a particular sinful activity, we have a particular reaction. So Prabhupada then said, if you murder somebody, then they kill you. That's your prayaschitta. And then you don't have to go to hell. Similarly, we have another one mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. One devotee of Lord Chaitanya, he had the sin of associating with the Muslims and had water sprinkled on him, so technically he was contaminated. He went to the priest and asked, what is my atonement so I could become a Hindu again and lose his impurity? So they said you should drink boiling ghee, which means you should die. That's your atonement. And next lifetime to be born as a Hindu again. That was his atonement. So, in scriptures there are various less severe atonements than that for particular sinful activities. Of course, the very severe, it's very difficult to get rid of the reaction unless one does some sort of voluntary death. For various types of sinful activities like stealing and this and that and whatever, one has various atonements. And even if it's not sinful activities, but in one's next lifetime one has to get a reaction for it, there's also atonements for that to avoid a certain birth of a certain body. One has to do certain atonements. So, according to the seriousness of the crime, then different types of atonement are mentioned. So, this is something like counteracting the disease without really curing it. So, by doing a prayaschitta, we can counteract the effect. But we don't eliminate the cause ultimately. Of course, the method of atonement itself is also supposed to help eliminate the cause. So what is the cause of sin? The cause of the sin is actions, simple actions. What is the cause of that? It's desires. Very strong desires, so uncontrolled desires against the laws of Dharma. So how to cure that mentality? One can go on doing prayaschittas once one has killed the sins, but then again if the desires go there, one will put another sin and then one will have to do another atonement. So it's not a real solution to the problem. So the solution is obviously to do something with the mind so that it does not have these desires and it doesn't lead to sinful activities. That is a real cure. So the atonement itself, of course, does one thing, that is it reduces or annihilates the effect. The other is it should also help the person rectify his desires. The action itself, if we examine the action, we will see that it is an act of doing the opposite of the sinful activity. And so if a person is really sincere in doing the prayaschitta or atonement, then it does have some effect upon his desire also. It will reduce his desires in that particular direction. So this is the hope of the higher stages. But it does not completely remove desire at best, and more than likely it simply removes the effect. So that is one type of remedy, atonement. Another type of remedy, of course, is the sada ceremony. So this is meant to also relieve a person from hellish punishment by offering a sada rice for 11 days. One relieves the person of his hellish punishments or whatever, and one gives that person some comforts. So that's another method. So these are all part of karma yoga process. So of course the higher process would be a directly spiritual process in which we stop the desires, control the mind, etc. This method is not foolproof, as I said, because even when it's brahminical, which is sattva-guna, still the possibility of sin arises, as we see in the case of ajna. So no matter what guna one is in, still it is possible by association, contact, to develop sinful activity. So it's not a foolproof method. So higher than this is karma, is of course jnana yoga and bhakti. Jnana, of course, is only for people qualified by sattva guna. They have the ability to understand the difference between body and soul, and to study the scriptures and the Upanishads, etc., and meditate on the body and not the material body. Their Atma. So the person, by concentrating on Atma, should develop control of the senses. Why? Because he has higher taste. He appreciates the Atma more than he appreciates pleasures in the material world. So by concentration on Atma, gradually his tendency to have material desires will decrease. When that desire is completely annihilated, then a person can get liberation. In the process of yoga, again, one uses physical means such as asanas and pranayama and jnana to stop the activities of the mind, which means ultimately desires, impressions, thoughts, etc. All this is ultimately stopped. Not only the mind, but intelligence and ego also. When all the functions of chitta stop, as material chitta, material consciousness stop, then the Atma reveals itself. So these two processes, jnana and yoga, are methods of ultimately controlling desire and annihilating desires, etc. However, there's some problem because these are difficult for most people to do. Qualification to practice is very high, and that's to be in sattva guna, and it takes a long time. So, the fourth practice is called bhakti. So, this also enables one to control the mind, etc., by not just concentrating on the Atma, but by concentrating on the Supreme Lord. And how do we control the senses? We engage the senses in the service of the Lord. So we engage the tongue in chanting the Lord's name, we engage the eye and see the deity form, engage the hands in serving the Lord, etc. So instead of stopping the senses, we engage. We also engage the mind and intelligence in service of the Lord. So this is an easier method, it's a quicker method, and it does not require the same qualification as jnana and yoga. One can start in any position, that is in tamaguna, rajaguna, or sattvaguna. So therefore this is the recommended process of three, or four processes. So this process, unlike karma yoga, is not a temporary measure because it replaces the desire for our enjoyment with complete desire to serve the Lord and please the Lord. When that desire to please the Lord is complete, there is no more desire for material enjoyment. So consequently, the karmas of the material world, etc., all dissolve. The one is saved from doing sinful acts and therefore saved from existence. So, of course, the effect of this process of bhakti is such that not only it stops desires and destroys false ego, it destroys all karmas. Of course, it destroys and makes new karmas. That is, we don't produce new karmas at all, even though we act in the world. And any acts we've done in the past, the results of those acts are also destroyed by the process of bhakti. And that we'll see, of course, here in the case of Ajamil. He did many sinful acts in this lifetime, and he was to get some bad reaction in hellish existence. And of course, next life after that also. And all that was destroyed by chanting the Lord. However, in the case of Ajamil, he didn't even practice bhakti. He simply uttered the name of the Lord. So, to utter the name of the Lord, name of Narayan, without bhakti, that can also destroy all your karmas, past, present, future. So that is the power of the Lord's name, even without bhakti. So, if one chants the Lord's name with bhakti, of course, then we will get much more effect, much better effect. If we chant the name of Krishna rather than Narayan, also, we will get better effect. Because as it said, Krishna's name is 3,000 times more powerful than Vishnu's name. So, therefore, chanting Krishna's name with devotion will give us the highest effect of all. But not only are karmas destroyed, and having one saved from hellish punishment, but one gets a much better result than liberation. That is, one develops an eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. And then one experiences the highest type of bliss. So, the process of bhakti, and particularly the chanting of the name of the Lord, is far superior to these other processes. So, Parikshit inquired here about the process of getting rid of hellish punishments for these people. So that is one goal of humans. We don't like suffering. We want to avoid suffering. So we have to get a method of avoiding suffering. Another is that even if we're not suffering, we want to get some enjoyment. But both these are material tendencies, desire to enjoy, desire to avoid suffering. People will come to the Lord with these desires. They're suffering in the material, or they want something in the material. Well, so they come to the Lord and pray to the Lord for that. So this, of course, is not the highest type of bhakti. So one approaches the Lord with something, but with this expectation of destroying sins or getting enjoyment, that is called mixed bhakti, karma mixed bhakti. It is not the highest type of bhakti, but in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I accept all these people, four types of people, including those who come to get rid of the miseries, those who come for enjoyment. I still accept these types of persons. So this is the Lord's mercy. Even these persons who come to the Lord and do bhakti with some material desires, they are superior to the Gyanis and the Yogis and the Karmis. They are much superior to them. Why? Because they approach the Supreme Lord. And therefore, they get effects also from that. Much greater effects. So we see the case of Ajahn, he wasn't even a devotee, but he chanted the name of the Lord, and still he got instantaneously got greater effects than the Gyanis get after many lifetimes, or the Yogis get after what many lifetimes. He got instantaneously by chanting the name of Narayana, he got all his karmas. So this shows the superiority of the process of bhakti over everything else. Of course, he didn't even chant with bhakti, and he got this result. So we'll speak about that. So, therefore, this whole story eventually leads to the conclusion that bhakti is the highest process. So the original question was concerning avoiding hellish punishment. So even for that, the most effective means is bhakti. But of course, to get the highest bliss also, then also best process is the process of bhakti.
You mean that somebody is atoning or paying guilty, his punishment is reduced after committing a simple activity?
Yeah, that's the price of it.
That's not repetition, like every time he commits sin.
He has to do a new prayaschitta. So this is the problem. That's why Richard compares it to an elephant bathing. And then he comes out and he sprinkles dust on himself again. Then he has to go and bathe again. Then he comes out and sprinkles dust on himself. Then he has to go and bathe again. So continually you have to prayaschitta to counteract everything we do. So he says it's not a very good process because it doesn't get rid of the cause.
When you say the association one developed a taste for sinful activity, does it happen only for the person who is gunas or even at a devotional level?
Well, a person who is doing bhakti, is bhakti itself is nirguna, but if the person is not on the level of prema, he still has some contaminations. So due to association, that could develop into something also. So that could make something grow, as we see in the case of Bharat. He was on the level of Mama, not Prema, and he developed an attraction to a deer, which is material, and it caused him to become a deer in his next lifetime. So, well, in one sense, it's not gross sin, but he developed an attraction for the deer, so he gave up his worship of the Lord. So that we could say is a simple activity, and neglecting worship of the Lord completely. The book had forgot about the Lord, and completely indulged in the deer. Of course, he didn't get hellish punishment, but he got a deer body.
What about the case of devotees? Which is actually the devotees only day after. The devotees keep telling the other devotees schools or two devotees are engaged in conversation. Sometimes they may notice that activity. The other devotee may be affected. If the other devotee feels guilty, not sorry. It keeps repeating what we have.
If a person keeps doing sinful activity, a devotee.
It's like offending and.
Well, that's different, a little different. His aparads are a little different.
He feels guilty. In this case, he also feels guilty that I have offended.
Yeah, well, aparads are a little different from sins because aparads affect bhakti. Sins put you in hellish punishment or give you a material body which is lower, etc. Aparads decrease or destroy bhakti. Of course, they can also give you hellish punishment as well, but the more serious effect is that bhakti decreases or gets destroyed by aparads. That's the problem with aparads. So, that is why, more than emphasizing sinful activities, Lord Chaitanya emphasizes aparads. Avoid the 10 aparads rather than some sinful activities. That's the emphasis there. It reduces hellish punishment. In other words, if a person is to suffer some hellish punishment, the struggle is to relieve that person of that punishment.
Okay.
we expect to not get any house punishment because the chant is more sane. In the case of Achamila, didn't get house punishment, chanted the name of Lord Narayan once. Well, you should know. Well, you hold for your parents. Well, usually when your parent dies, you do the Shraddha ceremonies for 11 days. And then after that, you do it. Continue to do it. Of course, it includes others, but the main is for your parents and grandparents and whatever, whoever dies in your family, no Shraddha rites for the life of the religion.
Reaction is reaction.
Huh?
Every action is reaction. Two individuals, they fight. One person beats another person. He says, I was beat so that your karma is.
No, not necessarily. They can both get karma for that. But of course, the idea is that if someone attacks and one defends oneself, that is not considered to be a sin to defend oneself. So violence against a person who burns your house down or murders somebody or steals somebody from your house, kidnaps somebody, that is allowed.
You should go and not go and burn his house again. You just go to my house. Revenge.
Well, there's all sorts of circumstances which will, you know, complicate the situation. So one cannot give a break on that. So that is why they have courts of law to discuss, you know, the action and what the result should be for a particular person if he does something like that.
If a
person
dies, so 11 days they
consider it. Yeah. Well, they shouldn't do anything. They shouldn't even go outside. Stay in the house, actually. That's according to the Dharma Shastra. Up to 30 days for a sudra. And 11 days for a brahmin. 20 days for a kshatriya. 15 days for a kshatriya. And 20 days for a vaishya. So you just stay in the house. Not doing anything.
For
vaishyas? Yes. Doesn't matter. No impurities attached to a vaishya disappear.
Well, nowadays we find that people are committing acts. They get caught by the police. They bribe the police and come back and leave. They have suffered double punishment in our region. Many people come out without sitting there.
Well, that's not the punishment. Bail's not punishment. They haven't been convicted yet. After they're convicted, then they can't go out on bail. They can get out on good behavior once they're convicted. After 5 years or 10 years, and they have a sentence of 20 years, they may get out for 10 years on good behavior. Then they get good results from that, I suppose. They repent at least.
What is the part of ego in the desire for the soul dollars?
It is the identity with the body which causes the desire.
So sin is committed because of the ego or the desire?
Both. If we don't identify with the body, then we won't have desires.
So it's said that once when we control the senses, the self is revealed. So at the time the ego doesn't work.
Yeah, also not.
तंत्रा से सुमत भागवतम की सुमत महाराज की जय 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 श्री भक्ति संत श्री प्रभुपाद की जय जय ओ प्रभु
तो ना, what are you required?